Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
Amen. I can't believe this. Monday night and so many people came out. What an amazing blessing. God is good. I tell you what, if you weren't here last night, you really missed out. Man, the presence of God last night was unbelievable. I tell you. But I know that generally with these feasts, it normally goes every night, it kind of builds, you know. So we really do anticipate God to move very powerfully every single night. Every night will be different. It was amazing. I tried so hard to, you know, this when I was preparing, I was trying so hard to go into other things, but God kept on bringing me back to this. So I'm going to just do what I really feel the Holy Spirit wants me to this evening. I believe that God wants us to worship Him because it's the Feast of Tabernacles. Is that okay? So one of the things that we do during the feast is we tabernacle with Him. The word feast in the Hebrew is the word moedem, and it basically means a set time, an appointed time, an agreed time, where we come together, and obviously it started with the children of Israel, where they would come and celebrate their deliverance from Egypt. They would celebrate the provision of God. And so we have, how many of you have been delivered from an Egypt? Amen. If you don't know what that represents scripturally, Egypt represents the fallen world. It represents your old life before you were saved. That's what it represents. The feasts are extremely powerful because the feasts represent so many things. Passover represents basically our salvation. It represents the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. For us as Christians, Passover has been fulfilled in Christ, so we know that He's our Passover Lamb. On Pentecost, there's a lot of things scripturally that pertain to Pentecost, but for us as New Testament believers, Pentecost has been fulfilled in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. It's amazing how God just does things perfectly on specific days. There's never a mistake. He's just amazing how, you know, and I heard someone the other day say, well, you know, it could be, you know, numbers don't mean much. And I thought to myself, wow, you know, that's a little bit of a presumptuous statement. When it comes to God, numbers mean a lot. And they line up tremendously. Numbers are so important. He does things in sevens, in tens, in twelves. You know, God does certain things and there's divine numbers all the time. So tonight I want to talk to you about something that I feel the Lord is wanting me to deal with, to encourage and deal with at the same time. One of the things that we realize when we study these feasts, one of the things that I've realized, that I feel like God was showing me, is that in church today, we can get caught up in going through the motions. What I mean by that is, you know, we come to church, and especially on Sunday mornings, we're very limited with time. So we have, you know, two worship songs, and on the 11 o'clock service, if you didn't know, we try and do three because we have a little bit more time, so we kind of push the 11 o'clock. I can see you bending over there going, oh, no, we'll come to the 9 o'clock next time. You know, we have time restraints, which is very difficult when you're ministering, to be honest. You know, and so we go through these motions and it almost becomes like a tradition almost. Well, I know that, you know, even with regards to their culture, the culture that they had in those days, you know, they would do these things. They would go and celebrate the feasts. They would do specific things. Even for us today, we take communion. We do certain things on a regular basis. But oftentimes, we kind of lose sight of why we're doing it. We lose sight of the power behind it. That's what happens when you begin to do certain things over and over, is that you kind of just get caught up in the moment. And even though it can be so powerful to someone who's experiencing it perhaps for the first time, for someone that has maybe experienced it several times or maybe even just many, many times, they kind of get themselves caught up in just going through the motions. And so Jesus does something very powerful during the Feast of Tabernacles that I want to share with you tonight. But you see, what happens is that oftentimes serving God, being in church, you know, you need to understand that the enemy goes around like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. And what he does is he has the same strategies that he's been using since the days of old. He's using them now still. And so what he'll do is he'll try and bring us as Christians to a place. I call it a horrible place. And if you've been there, and I'm sure you have in your walk, because I can tell you I've been there more than once. I'm talking about when a Christian goes into a dry place. A dry place where it's like they just don't feel the presence of God anymore. They kind of get stuck in this dry place. And you'll find specifically when you've been serving God for a long time that you can find yourself in that dry place pretty easily. It doesn't take a whole lot to get you there. And I've heard many young people, many Christians, they come and they say, Pastor Alex, I can't feel the presence of God anymore. I mean, I've experienced that many, many times. And we don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. So we don't go by feelings, but at the same time, we enjoy these things. We enjoy, you know, the presence of God. But what happens very often is when you're going in a dry place, when you go into a dry season, you have to be very cautious, because what tends to happen is in a dry place, it's kind of like anything. If you have pottery and you're busy working on the pottery, you know, as that pottery begins to go dry, what happens to it? It goes hard. And so you have to be very cautious, because what happens when pottery begins to go hard, or when you begin to go into a dry place, you've got to watch out that your heart doesn't go hard. Because a hard heart is one of the most dangerous things. And what often happens to us is when we go into a dry place, is we start looking at everybody else to figure out why we're in this place. And so we start pointing fingers and accusing people, and it's the pastor's fault, it's my U group leader's fault, it's my husband's fault, it's my wife's fault, it's the children's fault, and your heart begins to harden, because you begin to speak and you begin to say things that are very dangerous. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Everything comes out of your heart, and when your heart goes hard, when you're in a dry place, you can get yourself into some major trouble. Now, Psalm 68, verse number 6 says this. I'm just going to go as I feel, as the Holy Spirit leads. Is that okay? And in the back, I just want to get you ready. There's scriptures you don't have, so be alert. Amen? They're like, I don't see it on the list. Psalm 68, verse number 6. God sets the solidarity in families. He brings out those who are bound into prosperity, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. The rebellious dwell in a dry land. I want you to know that rebellion is one of the most dangerous things in the church. As a Christian, if you have stepped into a season in your life where you've become rebellious in your heart, it is so dangerous, guys. Now, I know there's many people in this room, this doesn't apply to you at all, but this is a warning for the future. Is that okay? But there are some of us that have been through this. I've experienced rebellion in my walk with God, where I've thought certain things, and, you know, I've definitely been rebellious towards my wife, you know, that she sorted me out, so I'm okay now. But we have a tendency to do that, and I want you to see something. That it's one of the main reasons why you'll stay in a dry place. So you have to be so cautious of it. And I need to show you something else. We're going to read one more scripture, and then we're going to talk about rebellion specifically this morning. Jeremiah 2:13 says this, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns, that cannot hold no water." You see, what tends to happen is once we become a broken vessel, once we step into an area of our lives where our hearts begin to get hardened, where we begin to get dry, we end up having a problem with that fountain of living water that we all need so desperately. You see, when you go dry and your heart goes dry, if you take that dry vessel, or even if you, let's just imagine that your heart was a rock, and you put that heart in the water, when you take it out, there's just nothing, it's just dry, it just, the water just falls off it. But if you take a sponge and you put that soft sponge in the bucket of water and you take it out and you press it, the water just squirts everywhere because it's so full of that water. When you become dry, when you become hardened of heart, I want you to understand that what begins to happen is your heart cannot receive anymore. It cannot receive that living water that we need. Proverbs 28:14 says this, "Happy is the man who is always reverent, but he who hardens his heart will fall into calamity." What happens when our hearts go hard is we get into trouble. We get into calamity. Now I want to show you, you know, rebellion specifically can come in several different ways. The first person, and what you must understand is ultimately when you begin to rebel against your parents, if you're a child, when you begin to rebel against your spouse, when you begin to rebel against someone that is in leadership above you, and it becomes dangerous, it can be very, very harmful. And what most people don't understand is oftentimes when they're rebelling against an individual, they're actually rebelling against God. And when you're in it, you can't see it. Come on, guys, you were all so happy just 5 minutes ago. Now, what most of you don't know is this, is that if you study the book of Jude, how many of you have read the book of Jude? Another description for the book of Jude is the book of apostate. It's a book about apostasy. Apostasy is something that none of us want to do, which is to basically turn away from God. And in the book of Jude, there's a description about rebellion that I want to share with you really quickly. This is what it says. In fact, let me say this to you. It's interesting that the book is called the book of Jude. Who do you think of when you think of Judas? You think of Judas. What did Judas do? He turned away from God. Now, he didn't write the book of Jude, but it's just very interesting, again, how there's just no mistakes in the Bible. Everything lines up. Now, this is what it says. It says, "Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain." Sorry, I didn't even give you the scripture. That's terrible. Jude, verse number 11. Jude, verse number 11. It's a very short book, but it's loaded with stuff. It even tells us how God's going to judge the angels that fell. It's very powerful. I need to do a teaching on the book of Jude with you one day. It's just we'll be there for like 6 months. So that's the only thing that worries me. Have you got it up? Okay. "Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, have run greedily in the way, in the era of Balaam for profit, and perished," watch this, "in the rebellion of Korah." You see, there you can see an example of an individual that ends up leading an entire group of people against Moses in this situation. And what ends up happening is Korah begins to accuse Moses. The accusation is this, that Moses, you do too much. In other words, Moses, I don't think that you're doing things right. I think you need to change the way that you're doing things. The problem wasn't with Moses. The problem was with Korah. You see, that's why you should worry about your own heart and what you have in front of you. If you can do well with what God has given you and not look at accusing everybody else, you can protect your heart from becoming rebellious. You can see with children. Children that rebel always think their parents are wrong. Always. "My parents don't understand me. My parents don't understand. My parents are so evil. My parents are so bad." And they become very rebellious and they rebel. You'll find that rebellion generally always comes against authority. Rebellion always comes against authority. And you will find that people who are rebellious always like to hang out with each other. So if you are with someone and you go, "Man, you know, that person's a little rebellious, but you like hanging out with them a lot," you better ask yourself the question. I hope I'm not rebellious. Now, we laugh about it, but the potential is so deadly because Korah ended up getting swallowed into the earth because of what he did. Now, you must understand, there's a lot of teaching out there that we mustn't speak against the man of God. That's not what I'm doing. What I'm telling you is you mustn't speak against the plans of God. You mustn't get in the way of God's plan. And you need to be very cautious. Because as soon as you start, if I'm a pastor at Oceans United Christian Center, I cannot start accusing a pastor from another church that God's busy working with. I may not like what he teaches. I may not agree with everything he believes. I may think he's just everything I don't like about him. But I will not speak against him because God is using him and his ministry. So I'll not speak against him. I will not speak against leaders. I will not speak against my family. I will not speak against anybody because those words get held against you. Do you know that the meaning of Satan is slanderer? In other words, if you are a slanderer, if you're speaking evil, if you're speaking against, you must understand that you're carrying that name with you. The devil is the accuser of the brethren. That's what he does. He stands and accuses and points fingers. And he attacks and attacks and attacks. And what ends up happening to you is you might be so good in everything else. Your whole walk with God is good. You serve him. You get up and you pray. You read your Bible. But yet you can't control your mouth. So you speak evil of people. And especially you speak evil of leaders. And that evil that you do by speaking against people will cause you to go into a dry place. And you'll think to yourself, but I'm doing everything right. I'm doing everything well. And you don't understand why you never get promoted. You don't understand why there's no growth, why there's no transformation. It's because your mouth has caused you to go into a dry place. Are you with me? If we go into a dry place, it will cause our hearts eventually to become hard. And then all that will come out of you will be, unfortunately, rebellion. Because that's what it will lead you to. It will lead you to a place of rebellion. So we have to protect ourselves. Listen, I've had many, many, many times where I haven't agreed with my father, I'm not talking about someone that leads you to do evil. If your parent wants you to do something evil, that's different. But I'm saying I've not always agreed. You can ask Naomi, my dad will rebuke me. Even now, I'm 42 years old. My dad will rebuke me and he's wrong. He's wrong. I know he's wrong. And I'll take it. I'll receive it. I'll receive it. And then what I'll do is I'll go and think about it. Even though I felt so right about it, I'll go and I'll think about it. You can ask my wife. I'll say to her, listen, I don't agree with Dad. I don't agree with what he said, but I'm going to go think about it. I'm going to go think about it because he's only been around for like 40 years more than me. So he might know a few more things than me, young people. Be careful. You get very arrogant. Well, you know, my parents don't serve the Lord. You've got a loud mouth. You attack your parents. You speak evil of your parents. Be careful. Be careful. You'll get yourself into a dry place. Your heart will get filled with deception. Rebellion is the same sin that Satan fell into. It is so dangerous. Satan came against his leadership. When Miriam and Aaron came against Moses as well, when they came against him, they came against him and they accused him because they were far too worried about what he was doing wrong than worrying about what they were doing wrong. And so when they came against God's plan, again, remember, it's not about the man, it's about God's plan. Immediately, they got into big trouble. But you must understand, we always read about that individual event. But can you imagine what had been stirring in the heart, what had been coming out of their mouths before that event took place? Are you with me? And that's what I want to warn you about tonight. But I've got great news for you. I'm going to show you how to get out of this. Is that okay? I'm going to show you how to get out of it tonight. I watch people that I love in the church. And I can see rebellion on them. I can see it. And it breaks my heart because I know where they could be if they didn't have that heart attitude. But you can never correct someone like that because they'll never receive it. All right, let me move on. Are you guys okay? All right. I should just read the whole of Jude real quick, and then we'll all go into major repentance very fast, like really fast. Now, if our hearts get hard from hurt, from pain, from things that happen to us, you may actually get justifiably hurt by a leader, by someone in the church, but you have to protect your heart. Don't speak out against them. Don't come against them, even if they're wrong. And if they are wrong and they've offended you, you know, we just had a situation recently where a leader was someone was offended by a leader in the church. And that person went to that leader and told them how they felt, and it got sorted out like this. That's the way you do it. If you have offense in your heart, if you get upset, if you get disappointed, guys, you will get disappointed. I will disappoint you. I am a man. I'm going to say something someday and you're going to think I'm talking about you, and I'm probably not. But you're going to get offended with me, and the enemy's going to try and use it to cause you to begin to speak evil. Don't allow it to happen. Are you with me? Protect your heart. Protect your heart from getting hurt. Protect your heart from being offended, so that your heart doesn't go hard and into a dry place. Because what's going to happen to you is you're going to go to the Feast of Tabernacles, Feast of Pentecost, major encounters with God, and you're going to be there and you're going to be like, you know what? What day is it? Is it the first day or the second day? I don't think we should come tomorrow night. Because you're not going to experience it. Because your heart's become hard. You get caught up in going through the motions of it, but ultimately nothing's really being taking place on the inside. Because that water, that living water that we need so desperately, it cannot infiltrate that hard heart. It's not that it doesn't want to. It just can't. Are you with me? It just can't infiltrate it. It's because it's like blocking it. It just goes right off it. It just doesn't work. It just doesn't infiltrate. So we have to protect our hearts. If you want to know what takes you into a dry season, I can tell you right now, it's your heart. The condition of your heart will take you into a dry season. Do you know how often I hear, we don't come to church anymore, Pastor Alex, because someone offended us. But don't worry, it's not you. And I'm thinking, man, for a change. For a change. And then I find out what it is, and I'm wondering, how can you stop going to church and serving God over something like that? Now, I'm not saying that to mock you. I'm saying, look how the enemy works. Well, you know, the greeter didn't smile at me. Well, you know, the person at the sound booth was rude towards me. Well, you know, that Pastor William, you know, he didn't smile at me. You know, he's unfriendly. He doesn't shake my hand. We have COVID, guys. A lot of people don't shake hands right now, you know. Don't get offended. Don't get upset. Don't let it get into your heart, because here's the problem. It may seem so little. Well, if it takes faith the size of a mustard seed to move mountains, when you sow small seeds of offense into your heart, they begin to grow. They begin to grow. And then something else offends you, and it begins to grow. And eventually you'll get to that place where you don't even realize. And you can't understand, how did I get to this place? And then you'll, as I said, you'll come to a service like this one. You'll be in the service. Half the church is encountering the presence of God, in having a major encounter. And you're sitting there going, what on earth is going on with everybody? Because you can't. Because you can't. And what would happen specifically to religious people, it happens a lot to religious people, they think that theology and going through the motions will cause them to walk holy, and it doesn't. So for example, during the Feast of Tabernacles, in the days of Jesus, there's many ceremonies that take place during the feast, but Jesus is at the feast. And at the end of the feast is over, they've done all the ceremonies. Jesus does something so profound. Watch this. I just love this. This is one of my favorite stories. If you get it tonight, it'll change your life forever, right? John 7, verse 37. Watch this now. John 7:37. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out. I want you to understand, we've just had the Feast of Joy. This is the Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of Joy, people have come, they've been in booths, they've gone through the motions, they've shaken the plants, they've done everything. I mean, they've done it all. And they're getting ready to leave Jerusalem. They were supposed to have had their spiritual fulfillment for the year. Their sins have been forgiven on the Day of Atonement. They've renewed their promises. Everything is done. They've had a spiritual encounter. The feast is over. And on the last day, at the end of the feast, Jesus stands up. And the Bible says, Jesus stood up and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. If anyone thirsts," you see, what happens is when you go dry, you will become very, very thirsty. And you will go and try and experience. You'll be in your room, you'll pray, you can't get a breakthrough. You'll come to church, you can't get a breakthrough. You're just not getting to where you need to, so that heart, that hard heart, that dryness ends up going away. And it's amazing because it tells us that he cried out. So I want you to know, Jesus did not do this. If anyone thirsts, it was more like this. If anyone thirsts, if anyone thirsts, that's what he did. He cried out, the Bible says. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And then it says, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. I want you to understand that when your heart goes hard, when your heart becomes like a rock, whether it was intentionally or unintentionally, you will be in a dry place. But there is one place that you can go where your heart can be changed, where your heart can be struck to the point where that living water begins to flow out of it again. There is one place. You can come to the feast. You can go to church. You can go through the motions. But let me tell you something. There is one thing that's required. Jesus said, if you thirst, if you need living water, you must come to me. Now, in the mind of a theologian, that's like, I do that. I read my Bible. I pray. In fact, I read my Bible a lot. And you should. But watch, because it doesn't end there. You see, the writer had to tell us what the deeper meaning of this was. Now look. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. In other words, in order for you to have that experience where there is supernatural breakthrough. Because let me tell you something. To break a hard heart requires supernatural breakthrough. It cannot just happen in the natural. Because a hard heart is a disease. It's a disease. The Bible even speaks about brokenhearted. That Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. He came to heal the hard-hearted. Those that have gotten to that place. Remember what that scripture said? It spoke of living waters. And it spoke of how you've become a broken vase almost. Are you with me? So we need healing. And the one who brings the healing is when we go to the Master. When we go to Jesus. But you will never have that if you don't operate and have the Holy Spirit moving through you. Now, let's go real quick to one of my absolute favorite stories in the Bible. And I'm just going to read it for the sake of those of you that just, I'm going to read it real quick and then I'm going to talk about it. Let's go to John 4. Let's just read the whole thing. I'm going to read it fast. John 4, verse number 1. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me. So Jesus is going to Samaria. The Bible says, so he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar. near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat this by the well. It was about the sixth hour, a woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." And Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew," look at this, "the gift of God, if you knew the gift of God," Peter said, or John said, that when he was talking about, when he was talking about coming to me and getting that living water, he said he spoke about it as though it would be the Holy Spirit when he came. Are you with me? So Jesus said, "If you knew the gift of God and who it was who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." And that woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his son and his livestock?" And Jesus answered and said to her, "Now watch, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." I want you to understand that when we go to him, Jesus said, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me. Let him come to me." Jesus is saying, listen, if you understood who it is that stands before you, you would ask him for a drink, because I'm the one who gives you living water. I'm the one who will heal you. Now you must put it into context, because if you understand this woman had a hard heart. This woman had experienced 5 husbands. Her heart was broken. When she got to the well and Jesus came to her, she was full of defense. She was defensive and attacking him. She was upset. She didn't even want to go and be at the well in the morning because everyone was offended with her. Her heart was hard. And he begins to speak to her about this living water that she can receive from him. And he goes on and he begins to explain to her just how powerful this is. But then there's a key that is released that we must grasp tonight. There's such an important key. We all want that living water, right? We all want to have that opportunity to, whenever something gets in our heart, because if you haven't realized by now in your spiritual walk, it's going to happen. It's going to happen to you. You're going to get upset at some point. And there's going to be only one way for you to get that heart of stone back to a heart of flesh. There's only one way for it to happen. Let me show you. Go to verse 21. Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews." Now watch, "but the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." What Jesus is saying to her is that I'm the living water. Jesus said in Jerusalem when he was at the Feast of Tabernacles, "If you want living water, you need to come to me. If you're thirsty, you need to come to me." And what do? When we get to him, we worship. We worship. The key, the secret to changing your heart is worship. Let me ask you a question. Last time you sat in a place where your heart was broken and you went into your room, what was the most difficult thing to do? To worship. Why? Because your heart's broken. Because your heart's hard, and worship causes you to become like wax. Worship causes your heart to open up. Worship causes your heart to soften. Worship's what causes everything to break away. That's why we become what we worship. We have to worship. We must make a decision to worship. The secret is worship. That's why God said that there will be a people. Man, there will be a people. There will be a people that will worship God with all of their heart. It was prophesied. Jesus spoke about them. When he spoke about them, he was speaking about you and I. The devil has the same strategies he's had from the beginning. I can assure you that Korah and the likes struggle to worship. I can assure you that those that begin to accuse and come against you, they begin to struggle to worship. Yes, they look holy, and yes, they're going through the motions. But let me ask you a question. How is your worship life? When last did you close the door in your room and put worship music on and spend time in His presence? When last did you come to church and have an encounter with God during the worship? Or were you going, hopefully it's not three songs today? Psalm 63 verse number 1 says this, "O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you." When? When I'm in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. You see, David understood it. He understood it. He understood that when he went into a dry place, the only way that he would get out of the dry place is if he began to seek after God, if he began to worship Him. You see, He's the only one that can change your heart. He even tells you that He'll give you a new heart. He can change it. It doesn't matter how upset you are, how offended you got. It doesn't matter what came against you. It doesn't matter what you've done. If you go to Him in worship, you begin to surrender your life to Him, I want you to know that you will be healed. You will be made whole. You will be healed. Your heart will be healed. Your heart will be made well. That's why Jesus stood at the feast and He saw the children of Israel leaving the feast, and He saw there was no change in them, that they were still the same as they were when they came to the feast. Yes, they paid their sacrifices. Yes, they did their chores and their duties. But when they left, they were still as dry as they were when they arrived. And He said, "Listen, if anyone thirsts, let them come to me. If anyone thirsts, let them come to me." And He spoke about the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit gives you access to the presence of God. But it's going to require you to make a decision to begin to worship, to begin to worship. Put down your inhibitions. Put down your pride. Put down your own opinion and your worries about what people think. Let's worship the Lord. Let's worship the Lord tonight in this place. If you have a hard heart, if you've criticized, whatever you've done, tonight's the night you let it go. Tonight's the night for your deliverance. Come on, church. Let's lift our hands. Let's begin to worship the King. It's an opportunity. It's a set time. While I was standing there before we started, I almost thought I shouldn't preach because the presence of God was so strong. He is in this place and He wants to meet with you. And the way in is with worship. I don't care how bad you are. If you worship Him, He can heal you. If you come to Him, if you seek Him, if you're in a dry and thirsty land, if your soul cries out to Him, He will heal you. He will deliver you. You didn't come here to listen to me preach, guys. You came here to be with the King of Kings. You have an opportunity now. Listen, the presence of God is already here. Surrender to Him. Surrender to Him. Surrender your heart to Him. And He will give you a heart of flesh. He'll take your heart of rock and of stone. He will give you a heart of flesh. Father, tonight in this place, I give you thanks for your word, because it's sharper than a two-edged sword. I give you thanks for every precious, because they are so precious. They're your people, Father. And you've called them by name. You know them. Everything that's happened to them, every hair on their head, you know it, Father. Everyone's in a different place in their journey with you. But I pray tonight in the mighty name of Jesus, Father, let it be like it was on that day in Jerusalem when Jesus stood outside and He cried out, because He knew His people were not filled, they were not satisfied. But I pray tonight, Father, for those in this place that will cry out to you, that you will fill them, Lord. that you will fill them afresh and you will touch their hearts, that you will cause the heart of rock or the heart of stone to be healed in this place. Father, I pray for grace. I pray for mercy. I pray that your love be released in this place. We're not going to ask for anything, Father. We just want to worship you. We want to worship you. You are our God. You are our King. You are our Lord. And there is none like you. There is none like you.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.